case?
Well, John Bond talked about it, about that there was a fault ran from St. Mary's on down along the Potlatch Canyon, and that it runs on down to the Salmon River. And I'm not a geologist, so I really don't know all about it. But one day we stood on the rim of the Little Potlatch Canyon. He told me to look up the way there, and I could look down and see where the earth sank down, sort of along there, along the Big Potlatch. And he says that there is a fault there that runs from St. Mary's to the Salmon River. Now, that would be an interesting thing. I don't think John Miller talked about that in his book, did he?
No, I don't think so.
Now, that'd be an interesting thing to look up about, wouldn't it?
Yes, I've heard about those ice caves, too.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that there are some right between
uh-huh.
Troy and Kendrick.
Yes, I've heard about that, too. Well, it seems like there's this geological fault that runs along there. And I think that might be interesting because I'm not very good at this earth science, as you know. And I think that's something the kids would be very interested in exploring, about how this fault runs right along through their country.
I want to ask you about the play parties.
Oh, yes, the play parties. Well, it was customary on a Friday evening in the rural schools. With the coming of the pioneers, there was very little entertainment. There were no shows, there were no cars, there was no television, there was no radio. So they all had to make their own fun. So each person brought to the community their own ethnic background. The people from different countries brought the singing games of their land. And the people coming here, of course, to this country, they came from other states that had been settled. And each one brought in various forms of pioneer games. And that was one of the chief forms of amusement. It was the roughhouse of those days. You went down to the schoolhouse, you didn't drink beer, but you played party games. And it was a place for the young men to choose their partners, you know. And this has been going on, of course, since the days of Adam and Eve, you know. So they had all kinds of games they'd play, and most of them were something about choosing partners, and if you weren't allowed to dance, at least they could swing them around a little bit. And that served its purpose, you know. And some of the games they played were, of course, Happy is the Miller Boy Who Lives by the Mill, and the wheel goes round of its own free will, one hand in the hopper and the other in the sack. And we'll all turn together and we'll all turn back. Everybody reverses, and the boy that's next to the girl grabs him a partner. And another one went like this: we're sailing east, we're sailing west, we're sailing over the ocean. And say, young man, if you want to get a wife, you've got to be quick in the motion. And they grabbed the girl nearest them, and away they went. And of course, there was Skip to Maloo, My Darling, and with all its various verses. There must be 46 verses to it all together. And everybody that came from a different section of the country could add a few verses as it was sung in their country.
How was Skip to Maloo played? Do you remember how they...
Yes, they all got in a big circle, and you chose partners, and you stood and held hands in this circle, and they sang about, my wife wears a number 10 shoe, my wife wears a number 10 shoe, my wife wears a number 10 shoe, Skip to Maloo, My Darling. And then you took a hold of your girlfriend and you swung her in a circle round and round and round, you know. And then they'd get in a big circle again. And when it came to we'll all turn together and we'll all turn back, one stepped ahead. The boy would step ahead and the girl would fall back, and that gave you each a new partner. Mm-hmm. And they played lots of other choosing partner games. That was the best. And it was a chance for the young people to meet together and have fun under the very watchful eyes and chaperonage of the old folks.
Now, they did this without music? They didn't hear
they
music?
Sang. And they all mostly sang. Of course, in some of the very early, even the earliest people brought some forms of music like violins, and some schoolhouses, about the first thing they would buy would be a little reed organ. and with someone pumping on the organ, you got a little rhythm and a little beat to it, you know. But if they didn't have anything, they could still sing and clap, you know, clap in rhythm. And that was all they needed. And when young people get together, you know, they can entertain themselves without much artificial music and things. Yeah.
But
and they played guitars even in those days.
Did they?
Oh, yes. Lots of them had guitars. And they would play guitars and sing. And,
But I thought, well, they call it play parties. This is to mean that it isn't a dance.
It was these play party games were, there were other games, too, that they played. They would play games like spin the platter, and they'd get out and they'd twirl a pie pan around in the floor, and then they'd call out the name of some girl, and she'd run and see if she could catch it. And if she caught it, well, she maybe would get a prize. Or if she didn't catch it, then she had to be the twirler for the next game. And they played charades. And everybody would act out something, you know. And you acted out different games. And they would play, they played games like, and if you could guess it, that'd be fun. And if not, you had to pay a forfeit. And some of the forfeits, you know, would be like kissing games. Some very pretty girl, she would be in great demand, and she'd have to give a forfeit of kissing some of the boys there. And that caused great hilarity and great, great fun.
That was okay.
That was okay. Yes, that was just fine, even in those days. So you see, they had a little, they had a little something going on in those days.
But I thought that in some places they played these play party games instead of dancing. They didn't approve of the regular kind of games.
Yes, well, that was right. Some you could always get by playing Skip to Maloo and London Bridge is Falling Down and Happy is the Miller Boy. If they wouldn't allow you to dance, at least you could play these games, and then you got to swing your partners. And having a girl in your arms tonight was just about the same whether you were dancing Black Bottoms or if you were playing Miller Boy.
What right? Black Bottoms?
Well, that was some kind of a dance they used to dance back many years ago. Something like, what do they call them now? What are the dances that kids do now? Isn't Watusi anymore, is
no,
it?
No.
No, and it's not Charleston. That was in my age. I belonged to the flapper age, and everybody was out doing the Charleston, you know. But now do they do the Big Apple? No, that's out of style,
no,
too.
No, they just stand there and move around.
They just stand there and make motions, make suggestive motions. Let's put it that way. They just stand there and go through suggestive motions.
Well, now, this was usually associated with the schoolhouse?
Yes, yes. Of course, they did meet in each other's homes, too. The schoolhouse had more room, and you had more freedom. The schoolhouse generally had a little better lights than they had in their own private homes. Candlelight and one little kerosene lamp weren't very conducive to big crowds. But the schoolhouse often had a gasoline lantern or something like that to light it up. And the young people then are like the young people now. They didn't need too much light. they enjoyed it anyway. And who are we to say who had the most fun, you know?
You think they had lots of fun in those?
Oh, days? Yes. I have a bunch of letters from folks I taught 50 years ago, and every one of them is telling me how much they miss the good old times they had in the good old days. The good parties that they used to have, and that the schoolhouses were in use every day of the week. Saturday night they had their big play parties, and on Sunday they had Sunday school. And
this would mean, say, every Saturday night people
would oh, just practically, yes, practically. They'd have surprise parties in each other's houses too. If the schools got too busy with their scheduled things, then people would open their homes, and the young folks and the old folks and the little folks would go to each other's houses and have a party.
Mm-hmm. Would these sometimes last all night?
Oh, I think so, yes. I can remember getting drifted in one of my early school teaching days. I remember the snow drifted so badly we couldn't get home if we'd wanted to, so we just stayed all night and then went home in the morning. You know the song about, and we danced all night to broad daylight and go home with the girls in the morning. So they had little all-night parties in those days.
Was it usually during the winter?
usually in the winter, because in the summer everybody was so concerned with putting in crops and harvesting the crops and that sort of thing. They didn't have time for much sociability.
So this made it a way of getting together, passing the time.
That's right. For the long winter evenings, it broke the monotony. Right.
Now, were there other things that would be a part of the program besides
play? Oh, yes.
Sometimes
the schools would have what they called a basket supper, and all the girls made pretty baskets and brought them. And it was a sort of a charity thing. If they needed some new records, or if they needed a Victrola, if they needed even just some new lamps, they would have a benefit. And the girls would bring suppers, and the boys would have to bid on them, on the baskets, to see who would get to eat with the girl of their choice. And the money would go to the school. And they had pie suppers. Every girl would bake a pie and bring them. Much spirited bidding among the married men as well as the single men. And woe to the man that didn't buy his own wife's pie. I'll tell you, that was bad. That was bad. And those were some of the things.
Well, now, let's say that they were going to have a play party night at school.
Yes.
Would they have things that going on that night at the school?
Yes. Often the school children would start out with their program. They'd have like a little Thanksgiving program, maybe. And each would have a little recitation, maybe a little play about the coming of the pilgrims and about why we should be thankful. And when that was over, then the other folks would shove back the chairs and maybe play singing games, as they called them, or maybe play some play party games, and they'd have lunch and then they'd go home. And that was the social life of the rural schools.
Were singing games the same as
play party? Yes, the singing games they were the ones that you sang to, and play party games could be anything like spin the platter and post office and musical chairs or cross questions and silly answers and all those kind of games. Where you didn't sing, the guessing games and that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
or the singing games.
Well, that could be a play party
game. Oh, yes. In fact, lots of people call play party games, they think of it only in terms of singing games. But that's not so. There were lots of other party games where you didn't necessarily sing, like musical chairs and like spin the platter, forfeits, anything where you had to guess something and get it wrong, then that was the paying of a forfeit for being wrong.
Where did these plays come from that the kids would put on?
Sometimes they would make them up, and those were the best of all if they had a little history that they were interested in and could write a little pilgrim play. And each would say some people could be the Indians and some pilgrims and others something else, you know. And if they wrote their own and what they thought they said, that would show a lot of imagination and creativity. And they learned to spell, incidentally, and use proper grammar, and then they dramatize it and put it on for the benefit of their folks. Sometimes they just learned pieces that they learned regularly in school. Generally, they were little verses that had a good moral teaching to them, you know. And often they learned pieces like Little Boy Blue and so on from their literature books. And then they would, whoever got to know them the best and could speak them the best, they would have them, they would get to elocute them for their parents, for the enjoyment of their parents at the program, at the school program.
Did they ever put on melodramas?
Oh, yes, yes. Sometimes the young people of the community, if they were ambitious and felt the need of getting together, why, they would have plays. And there was a publishing company called the Sam French Company, and they turned out regular line of plays to be put on by rural schools. Didn't take much scenery, it didn't take much costuming, and generally they were funny ones, you know, that would appeal to the audience and send you home laughing.
What about the feed? They have big feed when you have a play
party
night?
Yes, and they often had, sometimes they generally sandwiches and cookies and maybe cake and coffee, generally always coffee. And that would be, sometimes they communities would get together maybe for New Year's Day. Christmas Day, they didn't very often get together, but Thanksgiving and New Year's, many of the communities made a regular habit of putting on a big Thanksgiving dinner at the schoolhouse, and everybody come. And New Year's was another favorite time for them all to get together and eat a big New Year's dinner and then dance in the evening and in the afternoon and evening and visit. And those were good things to do with roads drifted and snow blowing, and people were very limited in how far they could go for a good time.
Who was it that decided if there was going to be a night party? Would it be the teacher?
I think generally it was the teacher that promoted it. That was part of their all-around bit of public relations, would be to see that the young folks had a chance to get together and visit, and she was becoming official chaperone. She and the school board would be official chaperones for these parties and things. And that was kind of the way it worked out.
What would they call the evening? An entertainment or a party?
Yes, school entertainment. Sometimes they called it the school program. And sometimes it was just, we're going down to the school for a little party. And sometimes there were women's clubs. Later on, there got to be women's clubs in the communities. And then the women's clubs were great at sponsoring some kind of a doings and entertain their husbands and the friends and the young people. But in the very oldest times, in the very earliest beginnings, I think it was largely sponsored by the teachers. Another thing they did almost before I was a teacher in the community, was having taffy pulls. And that was another chance for young people to get together and socialize. And it didn't matter if they were pulling candy or what they were doing. It was an opportunity to meet and get acquainted. So they served a real purpose, I think.
Did people of all ages dance in the play party games? Or
yes, it was mostly the young people, but it just depended on the community. In some of the communities, the old people came too, and they'd get out, and especially where they danced square dances, like Virginia Reel and all the old swing 'em on the corner like you're swinging on the gate. All the old dances where they were callers, to be a caller. And then they generally had a violin and an organ, the school organ, and they'd have somebody who could play the fiddle, and they'd dance. And they did that from the beginning, I think, of Homestead Days, because someone wrote a very lovely poem about the boy playing the fiddle so she could dance on the puncheon floor. And a puncheon floor, of course, is a sod floor, where the sod's just been turned up. So that would be kind of hard dancing, but I guess they did it. Yeah. Yeah.
How long did they continue to have the school entertainment?
Well, until the schools were, until the schools were consolidated. They did it up to the very last. And that's the one thing the rural people missed more than anything else, was it took away the center of their social life. The life of the community had centered around the schools, the dancing, the square dancing, the play party games, the entertainments marking the seasons, the interest in what their children were doing. So all those things entered into it. Now here comes my... Now turn it off a minute. Here comes my sister and Tom.
Well, sure.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. It's better to put it down that way, because then you get it the way you say it.
Well, you would form a circle, everybody holding hands, and then you would start and sing. Happy is the miller boy who lives by the mill. The wheel goes round of its own free will. One hand in the hopper and the other in the sack, the ladies step forward and the gents fall back. And that way you would change partners. And then you'd go around the circle again, say the same thing. Happy is the miller boy who lives by the mill. The wheel goes round of its own free will. One hand in the hopper and the other in the sack, ladies step forward and the gents fall back. Then you change partners. But in the meantime, there'd be somebody who was would be in the middle, and he would jump in and try to grab a partner so that the one who lost his partner would have to come into the center. then sometimes the call or the singers would change it, like a lady stepped forward, you see, and sometimes a gent would step forward, sometimes a lady would step forward, and that would give you a different partner. That was Happy as a Miller Boy. Then let's see, what else did we have? Well, Skip to Maloo, you have that here already.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had partners for that, and you stood in a circle, but each had a partner, and you would, and then somebody would be it that's in the middle, and that would be skip, skip, skip to Maloo, skip, skip, skip to Maloo, skip, skip, skip to Maloo, skip to Maloo, my darling.
And one girl was a skipper, and she'd get out and skip around, and she'd stop in front of the boyfriend.
Oh,
and then she chose him, and then they swing. And then everybody swing.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right?
I think so. And so then, gone again, what'll I do? Gone again, what'll I do? Gone again, what'll I do? Skip to Maloo, my darling. That would be if they lost their partner, you see. And they had many, many verses. They'd make up verses, too.
Now, how would you lose your partner?
Well, somebody would come out from the center. You'd have this it person in the center who had no partner. And they would come out and get your partner from you. And then you would be
at it. You have to then, come on and dance with somebody else.
A similar one to that would be Pig in the Parlor. And one, everybody formed in a circle, excepting one who was chosen to be the pig. And the pig had to stand in the middle of this circle. And then you sang, my father and mother were Irish, and I was Irish too. We bought a wee piggy for sixpence, and it was Irish too. We kept the pig in the parlor, we kept the pig in the parlor, we kept the pig in the parlor, and it was Irish too. Now at a certain spot there, you all changed partners. And, or did you do a grand right and left?
Yeah.
That's it.
What's a grand right and left?
Get up here, Dad, and we'll show them what a grand right
it's
and left
the
is.
The same thing as it is in square dances.
You right stand hand. In a circle.
Get up. Your right hand, you'd go inside of her, I would go behind you and take her.
You call that a grand right and left.
She's my neighbor, the one you write
to. And for anybody who gets mixed up, then you sing it, and you just sing to them, your right hand to your partner, your left hand to your neighbor, the third one is your partner, and we'll all promise.
That's when there's four in the...
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So this would be singing, no instruments.
No.
Oh, could be both, but usually just singing.
Yes, now this man who led it in our community, he just sang with a good loud voice, and we all followed after him. Everybody tried to sing.
Of course, a lot of square dances were sung, too.
Yes,
yeah.
A lot of the square dances were sung.
Well, would they figure that this was like this kind of... these ones that we're just talking about, would these be dances or would these be games?
We call them games. And if now you'll find it was this way.
There is a little difference.
In the country communities, some objected to dancing. But if you called them games, you got by with them, you see. But others didn't care, and then you had the square dances.
Well,
but there's really very little difference.
A game usually had an it. And the dances... usually just changing of partners or scrambling for partners.
Do you remember one that I wrote down that looked interesting to me was Water, Water, Wine, Flower? Did you ever hear that?
No, that's a strange one to me.
But are you researching games? Is that what you're interested
well,
in?
Well, we're talking about the old times in the county. For
in
the
general.
The museum in general, yeah.
Yes.
But this is something that I know Lola knows about.
The one
very to
send them
about.
To would be the hills.
Yeah. They're not around. That wildflower, growing up so high. Something, sorry, she surely she must die. But they sent someone to see her, And she revived. Yeah. Well, what will we do for her? Wildflower, growing up so high. So sorry. Little so-and-so must die. What shall we do for her? We will send Sam Schrager to see her. We'll send Sam Schrager to see her, and she'll be all right now.
That would be more that the kids would play, because I never saw that played in the games at the schoolhouse where the adults were.
Would the kids and adults both play, or would it just be the adults who would play the party game?
Both would get out and play at the party game, largely the young adults. But anybody would come and play, and lots of times you'd take a young adult, he would see some oldish lady, and he'd run and get her and bring her out, and she'd have fun. Lots of times the little kids were out, and they'd get pretty well mixed up.
Outdoor games as well as in the...
So, uh-huh. Some could be played outdoors.
There was Drop the Handkerchief, of course.
Oh, yeah. This one that Lola names is... the little children would often play that one outdoors about wildflower.
Mm-hmm. But those... Now, that's the first time I ever heard that one.
What's Drop the Handkerchief?
Oh, boy, that's an outside game.
Well, you can play it inside, too. We did.
Yes, you could, especially if you had
so
a gymnasium.
You all get together in a circle, a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And there are... There uh-huh. is an it.
Yeah. This
and
having
the
it an
runs it. Around the outside with a handkerchief, drops it behind somebody, and the somebody is supposed to chase them
uh-huh.
and catch them. What happens?
Well, it goes like this.
If they get clear around the circle before she gets caught, then the guy that has the handkerchief or that it was dropped behind is it.
Right.
But if he catches her before, then he goes back in his own space, and she has to be it.
She has to be it. Uh-huh. And,
simple game,
but that's an outdoors game, mostly, and for kids. To drop the handkerchiefs for kids. I never saw adults joining that much, very much at a time.
Would party games usually be at the schoolhouse?
Yes, they would always be at the
then
schoolhouse.
Then there's one called Post Office. Tell them about Post Office.
You do that, Tommy. You.
I never played.
I never played Post Office. No, sir, I never did know.
No,
I've
they
heard
didn't
that.
Believe.
And,
they didn't believe in kissing in my neighborhood,
but
and that came in to Post Office.
They questioned Abby about it, and
no,
she couldn't give them how
well,
it was done.
Well, it was something about if you got a, you had to have, so you went to mail a letter. You went to go mail a letter, and one stamp, it took one stamp, that was one kiss. And if it was something else, that took two stamps. How many stamps does this one take? This one takes.
But you got special deliveries.
How did you get
yeah, up? Special deliveries. Well,
did you have to go into the see the postmaster? Did
yeah, somebody was postmaster. Yeah.
Were they in a darkened place or?
I don't know. I never
so.
Indulged. My schools wouldn't stand for that kind of.
No, they wouldn't. Mine either.
No, my school.
They left out the best
well,
part.
Well, I'll tell you well, the way I saw the kids play it is: did you get a letter? Did you stamp it? And they'd stamp right on your foot. That's all there was to that part.
Yeah, but this...
this I don't know about, this other.
Then there was, in all kinds of games, there was a thing of redeeming forfeits.
No, I don't.
You've heard about that.
What was that?
Well, I don't know. In some game or other, if you lose, you have to put up some article, pocket knife, watch, pencil, whatever you had, for having lost, I guess. Then when everybody had lost something, then you got to redeem your forfeit, and you got up there. And
now then,
you
I'll,
held,
yeah, I'll be. You
yeah.
can hold it over my head now.
Yeah.
You
and,
tell me. Tell me part of it. Heavy.
Heavy hangs over thy head. What shall the owner do to redeem it?
What must the owner of this pretty thing do to redeem
oh,
it?
Oh, pretty thing.
Fine or superfine? If it's a man, if it's a boy, he
it's
says
fine.
Fine. If it's
fine.
A girl, it always says superfine.
It's fine.
He must. Run out to the big tree and back as fast as he can go.
Or three times around the schoolhouse, or anything you thought of.
Anything
or
you thought of.
He must declare his love for the school teacher.
Or he must catch the cat.
Anything
that comes into your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he does
and,
that, he can get his
when it came to declaring
back.
Love for the schoolhouse, well, he didn't usually redeem it. Or
no,
they just
go.
Let that go. They would go by default, wouldn't it?
There was one, though, when you were a teacher, my mother
yeah.
was
Jump.
Setting up the difficult problem, and Wilbur Cameron,
oh, yeah.
Wilford Cameron,
yeah, Wilford.
He was the one that had lost his pocket knife or something.
Oh, yeah.
and he must declare his love for Miss Gamble.
That and he did. Didn't
and he,
he
said, "Miss Gamble, I sure love you."
That's right. He sure did.
Of course, the person doesn't know who she's telling to do what, and so that makes it a little more chancy.
That's the fourth.
Well, how do you wind up being the one to choose? How do you get to sit down here?
You're sitting there telling them.
I think you must have lost something. No,
somehow.
I think it's the kind of maybe the two oldest kids kind of just take it over. I'll be the one.
You may count out too, like
Eeny,
meeny, miny, moe, or any of the other
things. How those counting out went.
Well, I remember eating that. We even had when I was a kid.
And now you mustn't say that anymore because ours went catch a nigger by the toe, and that's out now. You can't say that.
Yeah. Even when I was a kid, my mother told me we ought to say catch somebody by the toe.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
but in our day it was catch a nigger.
And then later on we went to school with Negro boys, and so then we're all as still as we could be, you know, when it came to that.
And pum pum pull away was
pum pum pull away is the same thing as black man, but we couldn't say black man, so we said let's play pum pum pull away.
How'd that work, black man?
Oh yeah, this is an outdoors game for children, and you have two bases, like one at this fence and one at the schoolhouse.
Yeah,
you
usually
see,
a line that you stand up in front of.
And you're safe when you're on either one of those bases. Now, one person is chosen to be it. This it is quite a thing. And often, one older boy or girl who is a fast runner, when they go on the school ground, instead of having any argument or counting out or anything, just say, "I'll be it," and volunteer and get out there. Then
Took all noon hour to get the it decided.
Right.
You know, trying to go back.
Well, sure, it took all the recesses, but somebody run on the field, say, "I'll be it," and then the kids will run from this base over to this base. We'll say that base was a fence.
And the idea
and
is to get is through without getting caught, isn't it?
Now, run back and forth between these two bases without getting caught by the it. And the it is required to grab you and pack you three times in the middle of the back.
And then there's two its when he does that.
Then there's two its and keeps on and on.
Until pretty soon you're all in the middle, or there's one last one left.
Maybe a last fleet runner, or one that's awful strong and can jerk away from the ones.
He might be the it for next time.
Yeah. Can everybody run at once?
Yeah.
Everybody can run at once. And usually you don't even get the game finished in a play period. You just have to.
So is the black man the one that was it?
What does the term black man come in?
I don't know. Is it anything?
No, we just called the game black man. And we never used it after that. Just say, "What are you playing?" "I'm playing black man." But since the Negro boys were there, we said we're playing pom pom pull away.
Pom pom pull away differed only in this respect, that you could, if nobody ran,
then the its could say.
Its could could insist on your coming.
They could say, "Pum, pum, pull away. If you don't come, I'll pull you away." Then they went to the bases and grabbed the kids that wouldn't come off their bases, took them out.
That's
and
when they
them
get
three
about
times
down to the end, you know.
Lots of awful good fighting because they say, "You never hit me three times in the back. One of those hits was right on my shoulder." No, and then the kids would have to stand, each one standing by what they thought. Usually you'd settle it before the period was up.
Then there was prisoners.
That's
base
outdoors
too. That's very similar,
prisoners
except
base is
instead of making
too.
You in of its. No, it's two teams, isn't it? And you have.
Well, there's two kinds. Prisoners base is the kind of. There's prisoners base and dare base. Dare base, you have two sides. Prisoners base, you have a prison. You take three sticks and set them up here or four, and
or
along
your
here's your fence.
Or,
yeah, mm-hmm. Here's your fence. And you put a stick, here's a fence, you put this side up there, and here you've got a board here, and a board here, and this is a pen. And then two of the fleet runners, or it could be three, but we'll say two, say, "I'll be it, and I'll be it." And so they stand, one at this end, one at this end, and all the other children stand down on one big base, say, "Who will give us a dare?" Well, you set a stick out here a few feet from the front of this. Somebody will come to give you a dare, and they'll run up, touch their foot against this little stick, and then run for their base. If they're real fast, You can't catch them.
You
but
have
they're
to
not
stay a
so
certain
fast.
Distance from
them. They have had this much head start.
Yeah.
Stick this little stick out here.
They could touch the stick before you could come after
sometime.
Them?
Yes. They touch the stick, this little stick here. We'll put a little extra stick. Here it is. And the kid who's giving the dare will touch this with his foot and run for the big base, which will be the other fence
before
or something.
Before the it can get him.
Before either of the its can get him.
Now, where are the its? How are they in the prison?
No, they're
base
right, here,
right here.
Right at the edges. Now then, if they catch this guy that gave the dare, they'll put him in here. Then it's up to these that
then
are out there to come and get him out. He stands in there
you
and he holds his hand. And if holds out his hand, if somebody runs in there and touches his hand, he gets out. But in the meantime, these two catchers are dashing and catching, and everyone they catch goes in here. The game doesn't end until you've caught everyone and have them in here.
And
or
while you're
unless
out
the bell
catching,
rings.
If you're the it, one of the its, while you're out catching, why, there might be somebody else releasing all the ones you've caught.
Yes.
So
touch them on the hand
little,
and they're out.
It'd still be fun.
Yeah.
That was a good game.
But only these
they're
two guys, and the only two that are, the only two people.
Yes, or
catching.
If it's a big bunch down there, you might
depends
have three catchers.
On the,
one here, one
you
here.
You kind
one
of arrange
middle.
The number of its to make it exciting. If there's too many its, it'd be no fun. If there's too many
yeah.
that aren't it, it'd be.
And what was the other game that was like that?
Black Man's a little like that,
yeah.
but not a lot. But the other one is Dare Base. And that way you choose sides, and you have a prison. You must have two prisons, don't you?
I think so.
I think each side has a prison, and you catch from each other and put them in the prison, and whichever side gets them all in the prison first is the winner. And that's a real good game, too.
Well, when I was young, the most popular game like that was Capture the Flag. It was a similar
uh-huh.
game, where you had two prisons, and each side had a flag. That was guarded by the side, and,
yes.
and there were two territories. As soon as you crossed into the other side's territory, if they hit you three times, you had to go to prison.
Uh-huh.
And the object was for one person to steal the flag, to manage to get that flag and
mm-hmm.
get it back over on his side.
Yes.
It was the same thing. If you hit the people who were in the prison, then they were free.
Yes, yes. Now that's what we called steel sticks. And instead of having a flag, we just had sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to steal each other's sticks.
Now,
but
when
that
Dave
was just
was
like
a Boy Scout, they were playing Steal the Flag.
Oh, yes. So we just
a
had
a newer version.
Yes,
of
what
game.
We call Steal. Yeah. Well, because
Sam's from New York State.
Oh, yes. Our country schools would have only one big flag, and that would have to be raised on the flagpole.
Oh,
and
boy,
so,
and you treated it with respect.
But you could gather up quite a few little sticks around the woodshed and steal each other's sticks. That was pretty good too.
Well, it seems like these play parties that they didn't, you don't hear about them much. You hear about the entertainment, you know, that there'd be entertainments, but people don't usually talk especially about the play parties being part of it.
Well,
it sounds like the entertainment was almost an excuse for everybody to get together and have a good play party.
First of all, would come your little program where the children perform. Then would come refreshments. And after the refreshments, then you would either, if it's a school that allowed dancing, you'd have maybe square dances, or maybe just plain dances. And if they didn't allow that, you'd have these games, which are practically the same as a square dance. And those, we said, would be like Skip to Maloo and Happy as a Miller Boy. And then there was something about the needle's eye. That was real slow.
Oh,
you go around the circle.
The
needle's eye, it does supply.
Don't
you just
go
around
in
the circle.
And out, or?
Yeah, you stand up. Just hold up your hands. They have the needle's
two.
Eye. Does supply.
And
the
whole
thread that
goes
yeah,
through,
the whole it? Big circle. The thread that runs so truly. And many a last have I let pass because I wanted you. And they catch
you
a
catch
girl,
that.
See.
Yeah.
And then. I forget what they do with the girl. I think that girl takes the place of the
yeah.
girl that's standing, see. And then she gets a hold hands with some other boy. Then the next time it's, and many a bow have I let go because I wanted you. And they drop down, and then the boy has to get out, and there's a new boy holding hands.
And if they were kind of witty, they'd make up little things. And I can remember them saying, and many a feller I've kicked in the cellar because I wanted you.
Yeah, that's right.
They'd kind of make up their own as it went.
With these
yeah, and if it's not too much supervision, these terms they use might get a little rougher, too.
They're recording this so often.
would they go all night?
Well,
go
till midnight, probably.
Yeah.
nominally. Once in a while, though, they'd run way toward morning.
In the school, in the Mount Tomer school, they never went past midnight. And I think in Gray Eagle, where Tom went, when they had square dances, I think that would run past midnight.
Yeah, we danced. Well, there was a time when we didn't dance. You know, about the time of the Sunday schools, there wasn't much dancing.
No.
But they did both. But what was the parties that lasted the longest were like New Year's, Christmas, Thanksgiving, when there wasn't much farm work to be done. And you'd come and eat noon dinner. And then along in the evening, while the women were washing up the dishes and so forth, everybody went home, all the men went home and did the chores. The kids stayed and played if they weren't big enough to do chores. Then they'd come back later, some, and have then what was left of the dinner, you'd eat it again in the supper. And then you'd play cards a lot of the time. Most of the daytime they played cards. Then after the evening meal, usually they'd dance or play games or both. Sometimes intermittently, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, Sam has never seen square dancing. You said you've never seen
it.
But he can
square
see
dancing
it.
Is more common. I've
right.
seen it.
Well,
people
now,
still...
this is the little games. There was so little difference between them and a square dance. Just very little. The square dance they'd play music for. This, some good singers would sing
what
out.
What about the farmer's dog lay on the back floor?
Now, that one wasn't a bit popular in our school.
It wasn't much of a game,
no.
Was it?
Uh-uh.
More like a dance.
But I take it that it was less of a caller in the play party games. Mm. It was more everybody singing.
Everybody sang.
It did require somebody that knew the game and somebody that was kind of bold, though.
Yes.
And in her neighborhood, there was a whole family of these.
Good singers, not shy, and very cooperative. And there's this one young man that sang and led all. In fact, the small kids in school thought that you couldn't have a party unless this Oliver Hill was there. And they thought that he made up these games.
Which Hill family?
Did you ever know that, Lola?
Oh,
that
I suppose it
Agnes
did.
Carley
oh,
thought
yeah.
that
Ollie made them
that
up.
We couldn't play these games unless Oliver Hill was present, and she thought he made them up and made up the music and everything. She didn't know they're old.
No.
Well, isn't Myrtle still around?
She's dead.
Oh.
Stella is here.
Stella.
Yes. Stella's there.
Yes.
She could tell you all
Are
about it.
Are these related to Shorty?
No.
They're not related. No.
Ada Hill? Her family?
No.
This is Viola Hill.
This is John O. Hill, and they live by Moscow. There's one daughter there yet, Mrs. Olson.
Tomer's Butte, out on the south side of Tomer's Butte, and Mrs. Albert Olson. But, those were good games.
What you're describing, that was mostly that kind of when they get together and then do the chores and come back together again. That would be for a special occasion, like...
Yeah, usually.
The whole
neighborhood, adults, kids and all.
That really sounds like something.
Community
like
dinner. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You see, you were isolated from the towns for the most part all winter.
There was nothing in town. There were no theaters. That is, if you went into Genesee.
And there was no radio at home and no television at home. There was nothing.
You read at home.
Yes, you read at home. But there was
And
no
in the town of Genesee, there was no...
Because the first radio coffee. I heard was when I taught the Snow School down here. And then you put on earphones and listen.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first radio I'd ever heard. Yeah.
Where did all the dishes and the plates and everything come from? Would the families bring them? Would they get them off
well,
a cook wagon?
Well, usually that was the way it started. But by the time Lola taught, there was a bunch of that stuff at the schoolhouse and
a kitchenette in connection
with the schoolhouse.
And a school that I mentioned that we had all these good games and then this good singer. They brought their own dishes. Everybody brought his own plate, knife, and fork, and they usually didn't bring anything very fancy, not their best china, for sure.
You always ate, though. Everything you did,
yes.
You ate.
Oh, sure, that was the main thing. Here, I'll read you a reminiscence from Johnny, Jack Platt. Lola,
oh,
I don't remember. I've ever seen you since you taught us at Gray Eagle, and I thought you were swell. The only time I ever... I think that you ever really took us to task was when we stole some matches from the kitchen so we could go out and smoke mullein leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Shame, he says. The kids now have gone on to far greater stuff. Good luck to you. And that's from Jack.
Yeah, that wasn't Jack bad. Was quite a character.
Yeah, he stole matches and went out and smoked them on leaves.
Would the little kids sit up and watch the
adults? Yes, and any that were too small, they would put down a quilt or coats or something on top of the desks, and you lay them down, they go to sleep, and they sleep right there while the folks were out performing.
Every kid, every family, every hired man, everybody in the whole neighborhood came, unless they were sick in bed, and usually they came then. And these kids, the school desks were here, they'd rick them up like cardboard in the side of the room. And they slept, or some did, and some of them ran around all night.
Yeah, like Marianne would run all night.
So you never saw any bottles. But you saw lots of bosoms, because all these little kids had to be fed. And you didn't go out in 20 below zero weather to feed them.
No.
Ladies kind of demurely sat over in the ladies' side of the room, more or less, and very graciously and gently sort of stuck the little baby's head into underneath the blouse or something and nourished it.
Well, at a Mother's Day school program, and this will slay you, it was about Good Mormon Community where I was teaching, and we invited the mothers into tea. Well, in the middle of the tea time, our little babies were getting hungry. So mothers just sat there openly and unashamedly and proudly
and
nursed their babies.
It, yeah.
And some of these elderly ladies that were great teachers there, oh, they looked down their noses. How rude and how vulgar. I said, gals, this is Mother's Day. These mothers were just exercising the first privilege of motherhood. And I said, I'm for it. Those babies needed refreshments far more than these big, fat, old teachers sitting around there looking down their noses. And
well,
I was
and
right.
Another interesting thing about it was, to the kids, most of the grade school kids, it wasn't worth looking at. And as soon as you thought that it was worth looking at, well, then you'd been so, had been so well indoctrinated that you were afraid and you didn't know what direction to look. Your face turned red if you even opened your eyes.
Well, I would guess that it must have been a real good chance and place for courting, too.
Well, there was so much embarrassment with courting that little tiny kids, maybe about four or five, would go around with their arms around each other. I know a case or two like this, and the little boy would say, I'm going to marry her. I'm going to marry her.
For sure.
But the young guys, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, on up to 20, they're pretty shy about this and scared of one another. But then the school mom and the leading bachelor, they got pretty... what would you say? Pretty bold, pretty arrogant, pretty flamboyant?
Some of them did. Some of them, not me. Don't look my way. Some of them may have. I understood that several of them did in the past, but with me, I was well chaperoned by Grandma Wall.
But I think that the games, when you have all these chances to pick your partner and let other people know how
this
you feel about
quite a thrill, other. Quite a thrill if the pretty little red-headed girl dropped a handkerchief even behind you and got you to chase her.
Well, yes, now you would think so, but thinking of this...
They touched you too, wasn't it? Instead of a handkerchief, it patted you.
No, that's different. That's, of course, an outdoors game. He's talking about these party games.
No, it was all
the party.
Well, we did a lot of those inside.
Oh, but I was thinking now of this school that I'm talking about. This is not Gray Eagle. This is Mount Tilmer. Of all the chances, as you would say, for courting, there was only one marriage among any of those people in that, and that's Ed Nelson and Helen Erickson.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And they were later years when they were grown up, they married, but
I'm surprised.
The rest married elsewhere.
Well,
yeah.
You have no notion of the economic problem that people faced. Yeah. The problem of, if you got married, you were going to have kids and you had to be able to support them. You had to have a roof over their heads. And there wasn't a whole bunch of old houses around that you could go in with your long whiskers, you know.
No. And they didn't have the pill in those days.
No, they didn't. So you were going to have kids and you're going to have a place to support them. And on a dollar a day if you're lucky enough to get a job.
She describes in here, in her, this woman, Mrs. Ball, how when the parents, well, she's making it funny, but they'd be dancing along and then play parties, and then everybody would break to eat after quite a while. And it said, parents could always tell which
which couples were thinking of marrying by noticing that the last two or three couples on the floor, three, four games after everybody else is finished, they don't even seem to notice that everyone's eating. You know? Then they start thinking, well, am I going to have to give my son the best cow, or can I get away with less than that? Mother thinks, boy, I finally saved up all enough linen and I got all the tablecloths I need. Now it's all going to go again.
Most girls had a hope chest that they kept adding to.
But this, as I say, it was the only one that resulted in marriage at all, and they were grown and gone from the community for a long time before. Let's go now to some more of those old games so you'll get them straight. Let's see, we said Skip to Maloo, and we said Happy as a Miller Boy. Did we say that one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we said Needle's Eye.
And Kept the Pig in the Parlor.
And Kept the Pig in the Parlor. And I don't think we got that one very well. I think I'd have to write these
you
out before I could do.
You had somebody in a pen in that, didn't
what?
You? It was in a pen.
Yes,
it?
That was,
You circled around.
I know about
it.
Old Dan Tucker.
Old Dan Tucker. Get out of the way for Old Dan Tucker. You're too late to get your supper. And it's like my dog, Rover.
Oh,
what was that dog? The dog lay on the back porch.
That's awful. We didn't like
and
that.
And his name was?
Bingo.
The
farmer's dog lay on the back porch, and Bingo was his name. Go ahead, Tony.
The Chautauquas, when they came in, they introduced a lot of these acting games, that is, you acted out a fairy story or something.
But that wasn't the kind
of
play to the old schoolhouse.
That's interesting, though. The Chautauqua is something that I've heard little about, but I think is real interesting because it seems to have brought in a whole lot of new ideas from other places. That was a regular circuit that people went on. I've heard Chautauqua, New York, where it originated.
Thing. The people that run these here were Ellison White. Ellison White Chautauqua, they went by that name. But in order to get one in your town, you had to have enough citizens sign up, pledge a certain amount of money, or they wouldn't come. And a lot of them got stuck. And I guess it all happened often enough that they sort of died a natural death. But sort of public-spirited people, when things were a little bit prosperous, would sponsor the Chautauqua. But I think the Depression is what ended them. I don't believe they came during and after the Depression.
No. What would the main features of them be here?
Oh, they'd put on they'd stay, 2 weeks? At least a week.
Yeah, at least a week or 10 days.
They would have programs all day nearly, didn't they? And lectures and plays and music. And, all the things that they had a tent usually with a stage in it. Then there was usually someone with the troupe delegated to take care of the kids and keep them out from underfoot. They entertained these kids by teaching them games.
Now, a man who I heard lecture there was Private Pete, who was a soldier in the First World War. And he gave a lecture.
He was a writer. He wrote a book, and he sold his books after the lecture.
Uh-huh. And now what else was there that was
well,
good?
There was one man who came from Australia describing the land, the country, the Aborigines, the people, and so forth. And one of the things that he did that fascinated all the kids was if you brought a heavy piece of cardboard, he would cut out of it a boomerang that would work.
Oh.
And so this was a big deal.
Yes. And then I heard two young girls, I suppose, maybe high school age, and they interpreted James Whitcomb Riley, and I think they played a little on a piano to go with this.
There was a Dr. Miles that lectured there, and by some hook or by crook, he gave the same lecture at two different years, the same man in the same town.
Oh.
The name of his lecture was The Tallow Dip.
Oh, yeah.
And the tallow dip, of course, the first thing he explained was that one lady one time was so glad to meet him because I've been taking your pills, Dr. Miles, for the last 20 years.
Oh.
But he said, I am not the pill man.
Yeah.
And then the tallow dip was the old candle, of course, made of tallow, but dipping a string in tallow. And I don't know quite, I've kind of forgotten what the point was of this, but it was
I don't know what. There was some significance to using that for the title. I've forgotten that through the years.
Then there was there were good singers. Quite a group of lady singers. Mm-hmm. I can remember real lovely, fine singers.
And William Jennings Bryan toured the Chautauqua.
They had some good performers, well-known people.
What about the plays that you mentioned?
Well,
that came out
I can
of that?
Name a few of them. One of them was Kathy Ricks. Another one was the was it the Pinafore? Kind
yeah,
of an
they
operetta?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all one, I believe, I think that they dramatized Told in the Hills there, one time, a novel of that period, but I'm not certain. That could have been a separate thing.
But then you say that this had an effect on the kind of games that people played.
Well, this was the entertainment that they did to keep the kids out of the road. That's when the games came in. While the parents were listening to a lecture that the kids couldn't hardly stand, why somebody was out on the playfield, or several people out in the park teaching the little kids these games.
But these were new games, not like
that. No,
they were not the traditional enacting a well-known fairy story.
Well,
the best one was Snow. Well, the one where the
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of get the kids acting a little.
The kids
place.
All go through this. They sang.
Words.
That's the woman that came out to your school and saw them do it. This Mrs. Ball.
Oh, I see. Uh huh. Well,
and here
boy,
she talks about
it. Really.
Yeah, and this is just exactly the way it was at your school, because a teacher came out and said after the school program and said, "Now this ends our little program." And she thought it was over, but the fun had just started in then.
Oh yes.
So you're the one that came out and told them. See.
Oh yes,
because that's Mrs. Ball, and she went out to your school and saw them do it.
Well, she couldn't have come to a better place, because when they had Oliver Hill out there, it was done.
Yeah,
done
she did. She went out to your school and saw it.
Now then, the Virginia Reel, that usually is a square dance, and you play violin music for this. But we had it at Mount Homer, where you could sing to it, because they were against dancing there, and I don't remember just how that went. Can you remember any of the words of the Virginia Reel?
No, I don't think I can.
And they clapped. Uh-huh. They did a lot of clapping. Well, you do-si-do'd, you know, you ran down this way and you do-si-do'd and came back this way.
Yeah.
And then you swung your partner again.
Yes,
and
I know now.
The length of the way.
Yes.
You know?
Now your partner would stand beside you.
Yes, opposite.
And
you.
The one, yes, there was,
to
hurry and get it going, a man in charge could just line up all the boys on one side and all the girls on the other side, and this would be your partner. Maybe you didn't want that partner at all, but it didn't make any difference to start the game quickly.
Uh-huh.
And they would say, a right hand swing with your best likeness. Your best likeness was diagonally across from you and at the far end, you see. So a right hand swing with your best likeness, right hand swing, a left hand swing with your best likeness. Right hand swing with your best likeness, you're the one, my darling. And you came back to your place. And then do-si-do with your best likeness. And your best likeness wasn't even a corner, you see. It would be the one away diagonally down from you.
Yeah,
do-si-do with your best likeness. Do-si-do with your best likeness, you're the one, my darling. And you'd go through this whole thing just by singing this. And you couldn't really call it a dance, you called it a game, but it was Virginia Reel.
You did run through Skip to Malou, didn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
It's funny, it just seems like without the music, I'm so accustomed to thinking of having music with any kind of dance that I think of. The idea of being able to do it without music, it must have been...
Well,
really
they
all sang.
They all sang.
And the words were simple and you all knew them.
And this man in our community had this big voice, a splendid singer. He could... he could just sing anything, and everybody followed after him, and it was lots of music there without instrumental music.
Mm-hmm. But twice in the sugar bowl, two by two. Twice in the sugar bowl, two by two.
You got it.
Yeah.
Twice in the sugar bowl, two by two. Skip to the blue, my darling.
You got it.
That's about all there was to it.
That's right.
I'd like to.
Gone again. What do I do? Yeah. I don't remember how you played it though, but the partner was gone. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You just got up. There was one extra one always, and you came and swung with this one, see, and then that left that other one out. See that the one that you stood in partners in a big circle, partners. Mm-hmm. And then when the one that was the end of the circle came up and took your partner, then you had to get out in the circle and go and swing somebody. Then that left that girl, and sometimes they'd run all the way around the circle and then pick somebody, and then that left an extra person.
Just
and that one
way of mixing.
Oh yeah,
a mixer. What you'd call, you know, dances, they call them a mixer. Well, this would be a mixer. You'd,
yeah.
The one in the middle would come and choose a different part.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was wondering about the marriage customs. Were they differences the way it was then and now? I'm sure the courting was different because the attitudes about it were different.
Yes.
Well, for one thing, a horse didn't run off the road when you're in a buggy. He knew the way home. He didn't have to park.
Well, now I can tell you a wedding that took place when I was in the great schools. The oldest daughter in the family, an older sister to this man was such a good singer, could keep the program going. She, I guess, was about 22, and a young man from the community, and he was about 23. And one day, the children of my age didn't appear at school. And somebody said, Martha is getting married today. And so as we came by the home of the bride that night, the Hill House, we looked up there, and here we saw all the kids that we were in school with, all dressed up, everyone was dressed up, and the two boys had on their knee pants. You know, that's their best suits. You didn't wear long pants. The pants came to the knees. And we knew that the wedding had been right there that day, but just the family wedding it was, and right in the home, and the minister from the Lutheran church had come out. Well, this young woman, her uncle was a minister, but whether he was in Moscow at that time or not, I won't know. But anyway, the wedding was a home wedding, and many more home weddings, and not much church weddings.
That's right, it's mostly home weddings.
Home weddings. Church weddings were expensive.
We could stand a little bit of description about me. Well, Jim Cameron liked to describe how he looked. He said, I always had a big stomach, and they always had knee pants. I always had knee pants. And he said, I looked just like a toad. I always looked just like a toad. And you look at Jim as he told this, you could kind of believe it. He was convincing. But these were quite a style. There was a little button and a tab on the bottom of these pants, and you're either supposed to have that buttoned above your knee or below your knee, and nobody ever was sure. So usually you had one above one knee and one below the other knee. And then, of course, you couldn't have your bare legs down underneath, so you had long stockings that pinned up onto something up above. Now, some of those things were called panty waists, and they had little garters.
That's where panty waists came from.
That's where panty, yeah. And some of these panty waists had a little kind of a rubber biscuit on the end of a thing with a sort of a bitch link slipped up over the biscuit. You stuck the biscuit up through the stocking and you snipped this up over it there. And that was supposed to suffice. There are all kinds of ingenious devices for fastening up your stocking. Now, one way was a safety pin that fastened onto your long woolen winter underwear up here someplace, and the other end had one of those biscuits and bitch links on the lower end. But, of course, usually something went to hell with the biscuit. And so you ended up by pinning the safety pin through the stocking and through your long part of your underwear. And that left the biscuit with a bitch link hanging down out of the bottom end of your knickers or your whatever you called them. And more often than not, if you played these games with any enthusiasm at all, something happened to the stockings, one usually just one leg at a time, you know, and the stocking would dangle down around the top of your shoe. Of course, if you had high shoes, it didn't handicap you much. But if the biscuit was still hanging on and the safety pin came loose, why, that kind of made a tail, and if people stepped on that when you were playing drop the handkerchief, well, it slowed you down momentarily.
That'd be no good.
But in spite of that, that was the only real bad thing that happened to boys in my youth, was that when you were dressed up, you had to wear these these knee pants.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could wear bib overalls and have fun. But
you went there to the party, so you were supposed to get dressed up in these.
You were supposed to, although in the country schools, kids got to wear overalls quite a bit. The mothers even got tired of these trying to keep these things repaired and in working order. Except Mrs. Brazier. She just had one kid, and he had to wear stuff that I wouldn't have been caught dead.
You wouldn't be caught dead in it, no.
Was this an Eastern style, you think?
Or no, this is all Western. Well, I don't know where
that
it came from.
Started.
It was the only kind of pants you could buy. Boys couldn't have long pants till they were 16. Now, I don't know why that was. And if it was a real doting mother, she might wait till he was 17. What? Howard Schuller got his first pair of long pants, I think, when you were there, didn't he? No, by gosh, he had to borrow mine. His mother wouldn't let him. And I got mine because my cousin was older and I wasn't married.
That was a practical, old, sensible way to do it.
And Howard got to wear mine because he was in a play.
Yeah, good.
And I was sure mad at him, too, because I wanted to wear it. It was the only pair of long pants in the neighborhood.
People get married mostly about what age?
When the girl was about 16, the man was about 30.
That was earlier that they married about those ages. But this couple that I remember, wouldn't you, Martha was about 22 and wasn't Carl about 23? Not more than 25.
Of course, with my generation.
And that's the only wedding that happened around there.
Very few girls wanted to get married because that was only for people that didn't have any talent. The girls were all thinking about a career.
Well, this is a little before that too. Yeah.
When you were young,
well,
so they were
my
doing
high
that.
School. My high school.
Yeah, high school.
That would have been when? In the 20s?
29.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there was one girl got married, Merle Euler. And everybody thought, oh gosh, isn't that awful? She's such a smart girl, too. Oh, isn't that awful?
Well, I can't do worse one than that. Somebody came home and told Leona Canfield that they heard that one of the gals was engaged. Why, she said, engaged? I didn't even know she was pregnant yet.
Of course, that was more the recent days.
In when I was in high school, there's a girl didn't come back to school the next year, and there was whispering around she committed suicide. Nobody
true.
Ever said why, but everybody kind of wondered. It was that serious. Pregnant
that
without
serious.
Having caught the man.
Yeah, that was bad. But I was thinking though of time that, like when I was small in the grades, now that's the only wedding I can think of.
Bertha Jones got married, and they came out in a buggy, and the minister came later, and the minister lost his way, and he went over to Mrs. Anderson's place, way down in there, and Mr. Anderson was out cleaning up the barn, and he stuck his head out through the manure hole, and the minister said, is this the home where they're having the wedding today? And he said, no. He says, we've had too many weddings here already. And he's banged the manure door shut on.
Just the one man himself. He'd had one.
Well, what usually happened, the girl, some of them got married young, but usually the girl, if she was going on to school, she went and taught school, or she got a job, or she worked in somebody's house for a while, and didn't get married until later.
Well, this young lady had graduated from the 8th grade, and lots of times they didn't go on to high school at all. 8th grade is real good if you got through that. And then she had done, as you say, gone in and worked in town for a Dr. Von End, I guess. Did you know Fernanda, or... Well, anyway, that's the one. She went in and worked in his home. Yeah, that's the man. She worked in his home, I think, or some home in town, anyway. And then when she got up to a suitable age, she married this neighbor boy she'd been going with. They'd been going to church together, too. They were Lutherans.
I must say, I'm surprised to hear you say that young women were thinking of careers in when you were in high school.
Yes, yeah, so that would be in the 30s.
She taught school years before she got married, so did Lola.
Well,
and years after she was married.
Yes, then I was going to say Mary Alice. Mary Alice was a young woman in high school
graduated
with Tom.
From high school
and
with
she said,
when a girl, she graduated in 1930, huh?
29? 29, she graduated when
okay.
I did. And like so many, yeah. she went to normal school long enough to get
right.
a teaching certificate.
And she said, you know,
typical.
That they'd say when there's a group of them together,
of the,
say, she's so-and-so, name is so-and-so, she's getting married. She's getting married. Doesn't she have any talent? See, this is all
there were a
to
few
do.
Girls.
Oh,
there were a few girls that were set on
do.
Marriage.
Yeah, not
when
very
you,
many.
When do you think the new this idea came in? Because nowadays, you know, we tend to think of it as sort of a new idea, but I know it isn't from what you're saying. And you know, the idea of a woman having a career of her own and
yeah.
other than
well,
just
now she
see.
Has a career because she wants things. Then she had to have a career because she wanted to eat.
Yes, and also
that
she wanted. Yeah, you know, there was
now
more
it's
money.
Your standard of living. Then it was. Then it was almost survival. That is, you had to get out of the family home pretty quick.
Yeah.
But most of the mothers of the girls hadn't been teachers too, had they? Most of them.
Yes,
been,
most of them had
well,
done something.
Another thing too, a lot of these mothers had so many children and such an awful hard life. Cooking and raising these children, and they just hated to see their girls go into something they thought would be like this, and they thought it'd be so much better
if
the girls would have a career.
If you got married and had a kid, you were trapped for the rest of your life. That's the way the mothers taught their daughters.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were
you
with
were.
Some justification
yes.
too.
Yeah, you
well,
were
of course
just
these were the mostly the children of the people who were more or less pioneers.
Right.
Well,
right.
It was
and
the children. It was the children of the generation after the pioneers.
Yeah.
The pioneers.
Like your grandfather would have been the original pioneer. Then your father, and
mm-hmm.
people of that
See,
age
now,
would be.
My grandfather
speaking
came
against marriage.
Into this country in 1879, just as an example, and it's quite typical of every. He had 13 kids, and times got so hard that even with the free land and all, it was just a problem of clothing and feeding those kids. And then by the time those kids were raised, or some maybe just a little older, like say my mother, for example, she sure thought that this was awfully foolish to, for a woman, as she said, to make a brood sow of herself and to have all these children which you couldn't provide for yourself or your kids. And you can go up to the cemetery in Moscow here right now and you'll see it's not hard to find a family name, baby after baby after baby after
yeah.
baby, buried.
There's
one
four
year,
little babies all
one year
one
after.
One
yeah, there's yeah. one good one.
Yes, Stephens. Four little babies all under.
And,
so you can see why these mothers then taught their daughters. Have a career, don't get married, make your own living, make your own way.
At least until you had a start, that
yeah.
was the idea, have a start. Now my dad, just for the example, the difference between us, my generation, most kids didn't even think of going on to college.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them didn't finish high school, and they didn't have to either. But my dad, he thought very highly of an education because he saw how handicapped he was without it. He'd only gone to the fourth grade, I think. And at one time later, he got at his own expense, got to take some high school courses in the wintertime. And with me now, I went to college for 3 years and then had to quit. And Donald, he didn't even, that's the brother of this Mary Alice, he didn't get to go to college. He went to normal school and got a teacher's certificate, which you could get in 2 years. And so did his sister, Mary Alice. And so did you girls, didn't you?
One year to get in 1 year.
You got
when
your
I
teacher's
went.
Certificate first and then went to college later at your own expense. And so many people did. All many of the guys that I went to college with were doing it the same way. They were older than I was.
Yeah.
But how much opportunity was really open to women as far as the different choices they could make? It seems like most of you became teachers.
They could do this. They could teach, or they could be librarians, or they could, this would be teaching too, but give music lessons, teach that. They could be a seamstress. They could make hats, or work in a millinery store.
And of course, all of them dreamed of going to Hollywood and being in the movies.
You know, all of the they say all of the it girls. We could have all been Clara Bows if they hadn't given it up for George and the children.
That was pretty strong. That people were really influenced by the movies.
It was the only thing. It was Fairyland. It was the thing, wasn't it? I don't know of anything now that corresponds to what the grammar of the movie.
Elizabeth and I both were going to be English teachers, and we'd have been good ones.
No, I was going to be a writer.
Oh.
But I never got a chance to be that, because just by the time I'd sit down and write one sentence, then I'd have to go out and chase the pigs or cook some food or something, see. But that was in my mind, that I would make my living writing short stories
and
of the lives of people
around me.
And
if she never got started to that, she would never have raised her one chick or had it even.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
that was my
like
idea.
When you get right down to it, though, that there weren't that many different possibilities that women could do in those, not compared to the way it is now.
Well.
Teaching was the main out if you were a smart, intelligent woman. And marriage was about what was left for the stragglers.
Well, sewing, though, you know.
Yeah.
You could sew.
Some of them had talent.
Some of them.
Of course, there's a lot of people attracted by the entertainment field. There are a lot of modeling. The girls that have the whatever
yes,
it takes.
And running little shops, ready to
yeah,
wear
yeah,
shops.
That was done.
Yeah.
Yes, clerking.
Clerking,
too. Yeah,
clerking
in a store.
In the stores.
Uh-huh. Well, I was going to be a teacher when I went down to Albion Normal and saw these old women, 75 years old, still teaching. And everybody was saying about them, when are they going to die? Aren't they ever going to die? The kids would say to me, you know.
And teaching.
And I said, I better hurry home before Earl Clyde changes his mind.
About two generations earlier, teaching was a man's name, man's
job.
Field. They were the, that was the pioneer generation.
Yeah.
It was a schoolmaster then. But in my time, school teaching was a woman's job. It's almost reserved for women. You're almost the main. What would you call it?
Social season.
This social season. It always occurred when farm work was not going too strongly. Usually in the fall of the year after harvest when everybody had a little money. But it did occur other times in the year too.
All of it was a good time
farm
for farms.
They still have them. It's still the same thing. When you went out of business, that's the way you did it.
Change farms. Or even when you wanted to get rid of surplus stuff.
Yeah, my dad had sale. I had one too, just to get rid of stuff that was obsolete as far as you were concerned.
But it turned out to be a really important part of social life then too, to be able to get together.
Well, you saw all your neighbors, you got acquainted with people from further away. Yeah, that was part of it. In those days, of course, these sales all furnished a free lunch at noon. But since the Depression, that ended.
And
too many people came for the free lunch and crowded out the buyers.
But all the ladies would go and sit in each other's cars in the old days in the buggies, and they'd sit and visit with each other and got acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
it was quite the social season for the women.
Yeah, I sure loved them as
and
a kid.
And you got a few miles away from home, even if you just went over the hill. You'd never been over the hill. You didn't know what was over there. And that was great stuff to get in the buggy and go over.
For example, we went to a sale out in the Tammany country, I guess. Now, that Tammany is the south of Lewiston, and or at least it was in the Lewiston orchards, and we went from our farm near Genesee, that's 20 miles from Lewiston. We went down the day before, we went out to the sale, and then we came home either that night or the next day. That was by team, of course, you see. So,
have you been to some of the auction sales around? Just the same thing. Auctioneer standing
except
up
that there was
his
always the stock, the livestock, and the cattle.
Oh, it's
horses.
Pretty. It's just
horses,
like being
course,
to a stock show.
Were always quite attractive. That was your motive power for farming. So lots and lots of time there's. They always kept the horses till the last because that would hold the crowd. Everybody came to either see how horses sold or to buy an extra horse, or buy a good horse, or to get a mate for one that he had, or some such thing. And harness. Gus still can't go to a sale without bidding on harness.
Do you? You grew up there by Genesee, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you probably have strong memories of the stock show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, Gus would remember that better than I would. But I was about all in the grace then when the stock shows were going. That was along about World War I, before World War I.
They had lovely stock shows more recently in Uniontown, though.
But these were the big things out there where the mill now is.
where the pond is, where they've
got
their...
Lewiston, you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, Lewiston Stock Show. That was the big deal. That's where the Platt boys always took their cattle.
I was thinking of the Genesee Stock Show.
Well, yeah, I remember them, too. They were a little bit overshadowed when they had the Lewiston one, so...
Yeah, we heard Bob Gray, you know, telling the other day about how he polished off the Greasy Davis's horses and brought them in those stock shows.
I can only
hurry them and wash them and trim their hooves.
I was pretty young when they had the Genesee Stock Shows. It was when Mildred was still, before I went to school, so my memories are not too good of it. Five, I think it was about 5 years old.
Uniontown had then the stock shows just up until, 20 years ago or so.
Yeah, since we were in Pullman.
I had a good chair to sit in because, we're fine.
Would you say that the old horse, that horse trading was a real, was that the kind of thing men talked about?
There's a lot of horse trading. Now, Gus... is a better, I didn't get in on much of the horse trading, but Gus can tell you about horse trading. Tell him about the horse that, was it, who was it? Was it Chet Sams? The horse, you know, that his hind end would get ahead of his front end? Do you, how did he have him rigged up? You have him in a buggy with shafts on each side so he couldn't turn around?
You couldn't turn it around.
And traded. You traded him with one that wasn't any good either, didn't you?
Yes, about 2 sixes as well.
2 sixes as well.
Yes, he traded off to me in the barn.
Bigger.
In the barn over at the Whiskey Pete's. And he said, gentle, and he said, yes, and he was riding. Oh, yes, and he jumps right on his back, tied in the barn. Yes, but the damn thing is that the old founder of Ralph's hind legs were shot.